When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
If you haven't heard, it's a good idea to fit probiotics into your daily routine. Fortunately, Nature's Way Women's Probiotic Pearls make that so easy. These adorable little pearls couldn't be easier to take, and they support both digestive and vaginal health, all because of the probiotics. There are actually 1 billion active cultures protecting against occasional bloating, constipation, and digestive discomfort, all in one tiny little pearl. To learn more about Nature's Way Women's Probiotic Pearls and how they can fit into your routine, visit naturesway.com.
Go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, and welcome to Car Stuff. I'm Scott Benjamin.
And I'm Ben Bolin.
Ben, today I want to talk about something that's a more of a movement than anything, I guess.
A
stylistic movement. Mm-hmm. How about that? Art Deco cars.
Right. And why is this more of a stylistic movement?
Well, obviously it follows the Art Deco style, I suppose, mm-hmm. that came about in, what, the 1920s. We'll get to that. But what really sparked this whole thing is that you gave me a magazine recently. And the cover story was about Art Deco cars. And I mm-hmm. thought this kind of reminded me that we also have an article on our website. You know, I think it's just called "What is an Art Deco Car?" Simple as that. But it very clearly lays out what design characteristics Art Deco cars that follow along with the Art Deco style and Art Deco architecture and design. You know, the mid-20s or the early 20s, the way the cars follow along with that style trend.
Oh man! And to be absolutely honest with you, I think these vehicles are some of the most beautiful cars, bar none, just in my opinion, again.
I completely agree, and to be, I guess, in the presence of one of these cars, mm-hmm. because they're still very rare these days, because they were rare in the day that they were built.
Yeah.
They're even more rare now. You almost have to be at a museum or at a Concours show. You know, I've mentioned the Concours d'Elegance mm-hmm. many times.
Or hanging with a chic or an aristocrat.
Yeah, yeah. You probably have lots of friends that have Art Deco cars, right?
Well, yeah, my chic friends. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, so, you know, I can think of maybe just a couple of examples that I've actually in person witnessed. And that's just, I mean, I go to shows all the time, auto shows, mm-hmm. and I've always got my eyes, you know, peeled on the road looking at, you know, what's out there, what's passing me, what's behind me, what's in front of me, all around, you know, any car show, the Concours shows, and maybe a museum exhibition here or there. I can really only think of just a handful of cars that I've seen that are true Art Deco cars in person.
Well, like that one that traveled through the High Museum recently.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. What was it? The Art of the Automobile, I think is what it was called.
Yeah.
And you'll find, you know, like, you know, maybe the Peterson Museum will have something that, you know, is a special exhibit, but, you know, they may only have one or two at most.
And this is a good point, because it's true that Art Deco cars, in comparison to most of the other older vehicles you'll see, Art Deco cars are exceedingly rare, and they always were. But that's a little bit strange, because the Art Deco movement that inspired these cars dominated almost everything between every kind of, how do we say it in the article, every form of creative expression between World War I and World War II mm-hmm. in the 20s. So you couldn't walk down the street without seeing something that was Art Deco.
Yeah, whether it was a building or whether mm-hmm. it was inspired jewelry, you know, that people were wearing,
yeah.
Whether it was furniture, mm-hmm. anything, all types of materials took on this Art Deco look and feel. And I had a lot of nautical elements to it as well.
Yep.
And we still see that in cars all the way up until, like, maybe the 1950s, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and even in some cases today, we'll talk about some modern examples at the very end of this podcast,
because
there's some really good ones in places that you may not think to look. But you know, these you mentioned they're rare even then.
Yes.
So you know, here's the thing about this, Ben. The elements of Art Deco came into production. You know, like a lot of people adopted those into production vehicles. So elements of Art Deco design crop up here and there in even cars that the big three manufactured on on mass scales. But we're talking primarily about full vehicles that are designed completely. I mean, the whole body coach builders that create works of art really that are completely Art Deco design. You know, from the grill all the way to the back bumper.
Yeah, so this is the era, as you say, of coach builders. So this is an era where a car company like Bugatti would maybe just make the chassis and the engine, and then a custom coach building company would create something exactly to the Duke's specifications. And let's keep in mind that during the 1930s in the United States, the Great Depression is occurring.
And that's when it just kicks in for us, right? When the Art Deco idea kicks in for us.
Across the Atlantic into the United States. And people who were, I guess, financially secure during this time is an understatement, right? Because it was a time of inequality. So there were some people who were quite well off, and they were able to have the perfect car. We're talking about cars that could cost, $200,000 at a time when the average home costs $3,800.
Yeah, you know what? I can tell you something about this, too, because I looked up this number, right?
Uh-huh.
From our article, we say that in 2008, there was a I've got this mixed up here. I'm going to go back and find this number for you, I promise. But oh, no, here it is.
Is it the Bugatti option?
No, here it is. Actually, you're talking about the Delage D8 120 Cabriolet, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, you mentioned $200,000 at a time when the home was $3,800. I went to an inflation calculator.
Oh, good, good.
And figured this out. So that vehicle was produced between, I think, 1937 and 1939. So I took 1937 numbers for $200,000. And if you were to, bring that up to today's standards, that's about $3.2 million in 2012 dollars.
Wow.
So you're talking about a car that's brand new, $3.2 million. There's, I can think of only maybe a couple that are even approaching that these days. And they're not even to that point. I mean, we're talking about like the Bugatti Veyron. And this one that we're talking about here in the article, the $200,000 vehicle, that was that's an enormous vehicle, like the big coach built vehicles that you're talking about.
Oh, yes. And we should talk about the features of Art Deco cars, because we said that we see features or elements of this stylistic approach getting into some of the mass produced cars, some of the big three from these custom built vehicles. But we didn't say what those elements are. You'll often hear about the streamlined shape. That's one of the big things, right?
Yeah, streamlined. That's another whole topic. I think we've talked about streamlined before, right? But I love streamlined cars. Go ahead.
Swooping fenders, lots of chrome, long hoods.
Yeah.
Long hoods are key.
Long hoods and also massive engines.
Massive.
Well, which is really cool. I've got a note here about the massive engines too, because when we say massive, we're talking about, these are the big monster V12 engines that they put in them. 9-liter engines, aircraft engines, a lot of V12s that, that were required that much space, so that's why they had these massive hoods, and that in itself lends to these long horizontal lines that the architecture, where that comes from, I guess, is from the Art Deco architecture of the day as well. And the other thing is that it wasn't just the shape of the thing; it was also that they used really rich, bold colors, which they hadn't in the past.
Right. Yes.
And this is crazy. I mean, you may see things like orange and cream colored cars, and you'll see things with like bright purple and
purple
really
and white,
amazing colors that are brought together that in the past just hadn't been put on cars up till that point. We see a lot of custom paint now,
right?
This is similar, and that was really, really eye catching, but excessive ornamentation.
Yeah, it's extravagant.
But you know what? At the same time, they say that they're simple. Simple in design, but excessive ornamentation. I don't know how that kind of goes together. I'll be honest with you here, Ben.
Yeah.
And you and I talked about this before the podcast, when the idea was first mentioned that we'd do this podcast. I don't know if I could look at an element of a vehicle and say that that's an Art Deco element. I kind of have a feel for it a little bit, but I couldn't say, I couldn't look at an emblem. I couldn't look at a piece of chrome on the side of a Buick and decide that that's an Art Deco element. I don't know if I know the exact criteria that makes it that.
Yeah, I'm with you on that because I was reading the stuff about the elements, and there's also a smaller rounded trunk, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And there are some specifics, but I think it's very difficult to look at simply one piece of the puzzle and then say that is Art Deco.
They mentioned geometric shapes. Well,
all shapes are geometric.
It seems to me. Yeah, I know there are some. I know a lot of organic shapes, and I understand that.
Right.
But when you get into other things, other items, I can almost pick out like Art Deco items better if they're a complete item that is designed as an Art Deco item. Like,
right.
We mentioned other things that followed along with this this trend. Now, mm-hmm. This is coming from France in the 1920s. It goes international from like the 1930s and 40s.
Yeah.
So, we're catching on to this here in the States at that point. This is right around when Airstream trailers came around. So like the metal, really classic design. That mm-hmm. those are clearly Art Deco design.
Yeah.
Kitchen appliances, which I think you know several kitchen appliances, right?
Some of the toasters, the refrigerators of the 50s. You can't look at any appliance commercial for the home in the 1950s and not run into some sort of Art Deco element.
Which is crazy because this is also at the end. So I think it maybe goes back in the 40s. And the early part of the 50s.
Yeah.
But, I look at the toaster at my grandparents' house.
Uh-huh.
And that is clearly an Art Deco toaster. It's old. I mean, it's really old. Like, cloth wiring. Like the kind that with cloth covering and that type of thing. Their whole house is that way. But
that's cool.
Yeah, it's really neat. But, look at, tea kettles and fans and wall clocks mm-hmm. and vacuum cleaners and mm-hmm. everything had Art Deco elements or design to it. And if you look now, if you want a modern example of a kitchen appliance now, you could look at, the new KitchenAid mixers that are kind of all one piece. They're really big and
bold. Yeah, yeah.
Those are Art Deco design as well.
Definitely. So bright colors.
Yeah.
You can get them in bright colors, and they have that one smooth sort of sinuous curve.
Exactly. Right? Yeah, and I think everybody probably knows what I'm talking about, the kitchen countertop mixer, the big one unit, single piece unit. I guess if you want to look for cars.
Yeah.
Actually, there's another thing, too.
What's that?
The 1930s trains.
Oh, good call. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah, the trains of the day. Very streamlined. Mm-hmm. They appear in a lot of artwork. You'll see trains parked next to – or actually accelerating next to cars that are also accelerating.
Right.
That type of, artwork that you'll find where they compare the two, that they look very similar, with the raked back grill.
Yeah.
Long vertical – horizontal lines, rather. I can see the train design following. That's a clear indicator that it passed on to other modes of transportation besides mm-hmm. automobiles. And also, even I found a few outboard boat motors that took on the Art Deco design. Actually, many of them did in the day. This movement, this style movement, was so encompassing, and it just hit everything. Furniture, buildings, mm-hmm. Outboard boat motors. Who would think? A toaster,
clothing.
Clothing, yeah. It's amazing.
And so when we're talking about the Art Deco cars, we're talking about one piece of this large movement. But, man, the cars are so cool. They're usually two-door coupes. Not always.
Yeah.
But usually, usually two doors. And they've usually got the big round headlights. I hate to say it, Scott, but I feel like I'm doing a disservice to some of these companies because I am not articulating their vision well enough. Mm-hmm. But you guys have to check it out. Do an image search just for Art Deco cars. You'll see some amazing stuff, and it's stuff that you are not likely to see manufactured in that form again because – keep in mind, this is this period between World War I, World War II, and for the vehicles. This was a period where there were quite a few car companies.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian. Someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day. Seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if we're being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource. And paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go Papertarian? I'll wait. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
I can give you 3 examples, if you'd like, just really quickly, that you know, if you want to search these vehicles, this will give you a very clear idea of what an Art Deco car looks like. Now, there's an interesting one that, you know, following all these coach-built vehicles and, you know, the United States, we said, jumped on around the 1930s, 1940s. Chrysler created something called the Chrysler Airflow.
Okay, good. I was going to say, if you're naming 3, make sure one of them is my favorite.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about it? Because the Airflow was, at the time, very revolutionary design.
Yeah, the Airflow looks as though it was carved out of a single piece of polished metal. And so I think that's a pretty good way
that's
to say it.
Probably a pretty good way to
and
say it.
And they put some tires on it.
What's really crazy is that, you know, they've got cars were really rectangular. They were really squared off in a lot of cases. You know, they did have big fenders and things like that, but the Airflow is unique. I mean, we've got the waterfall grill on the front. That's probably the most striking example of this Art Deco design. But if you look inside, you know, the bench seats look almost like bus seats of the day is what it looked like to me.
Yeah.
But they did have this metal frame, like this tubular frame that went around them that added just a stylistic element that, you know, made part of that look Art Deco. When you open up the door, it's like, okay, there's an Art Deco element to it. Again, the dashboard laid out in Art Deco design. The entire body was laid out in Art Deco design. Now, it's not a coach-built vehicle like, you know, like the specific, you know, the Delahaye's and the
Havas.
The Delahaye's and all those vehicles, you know, that are over-the-top designs. This was a little more subtle. But still, if you look at it even today, it's definitely a tie-in.
One of the first uses of streamlining, too, in production vehicles, right?
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, as a matter of fact, because you mentioned the rectangular design, and this is one that they actually tested and you know, determined that, you know, it's going to flow through the air better this way.
And that's a 1934 that comes out.
1934. Okay, if you want to look at – there's another 2 examples I can give you here.
Yeah.
One real quick one that's one of my personal favorites. Harley Earls, the GM Futureliner design.
Oh yeah!
Oh my gosh, that vehicle!
I forgot about that.
That vehicle is awesome, and they only made something like 12 of them, and I've misplaced my notes, so I'm gonna just wing it here, okay?
It's huge. It's not a car, just so everybody knows.
No, it's a huge. It was a display vehicle that GM built to I think it was the Parade of Progress. Now that I think about it, it was used for 2 different time periods. One is like in the mid early 40s, and the other one is like in the mid 50s for like 1 or 2 years at a time. That was it. They made 12 of them. I think 9 exist today. One was crashed. They know that one. And there's two others that are somewhere out there. And they were resold to people along the way. One recently, I think, sold for about $4 million, I think, Ben, at an auction. A restored, I think it was number 11 of the 12.
So these are buses, and they also have they're highly customized buses. If you check them out, I think they're red and white, most of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what's something interesting? I was looking up the Future Liner, someone had posted that they had just recently bought a harmonica from around that same time period.
Yeah.
And they turned the harmonica on end, and it looks almost exactly like the Future Liner. You'll find the comparison if you search harmonica Future Liner. I'm sure that you'll be able to see it. And I swear to you, it's very, very close. It really does look close. It's amazing the design, similarities in that.
We should do a podcast just on the Future Liner.
Again? Oh, definitely. Yeah. We've done special vehicles like that, parade vehicles almost, right?
Sure.
And then if you want to look for one more that's really a good example, the Stout Scarab from the 1930s, like 1932, I think was the first one. Really, only 5 cars are reported to exist today.
Wow.
Of the original Stout Scarab cars. But definitely an Art Deco design. You'll see them maybe, at a museum here or there.
Right.
I saw one at a Concours show. Again, Concours show is the place to go for these rarities.
Yeah, it's your best shot to see them live and up close.
And it didn't do well because people thought it was ugly at the time.
Really?
But now, can you imagine if you owned one of these 5 vehicles, what that's worth? I mean, it's got to be millions and millions, if not just,
I don't know if you can put a price on it, man.
I don't think you can. I don't think you can.
There's also Mullins Museum, which we mentioned in the article, right?
Sure.
It's in Oxnard, California, and there you can check out the C-27 Grand Sport Cabriolet that the Shah of Persia once had.
Ah, see? Big money.
Mm-hmm. You can also see several other examples of Art Deco cars, but let's be completely frank. It's beyond the means of most people on the planet to purchase or restore one of the original vehicles.
Ah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. To find one of these, like I mentioned, some of these cars are going for $8 million at auction. I mean, that's literally one of the numbers here for a Bugatti from the day.
Yeah, 8.2 is it?
I think it's something like that. That's for a 1937 Bugatti that exhibits Art Deco design. It was sold for $8 million in 2007. So that's the level that we're talking about here. That's how much these.
And I do want to defend the price of these things because given both their rarity and their status as works of art, nobody complains when Van Gogh is purchased for millions of dollars.
$25 million or whatever it costs. Yeah.
So I can completely see why these would command such a high price. And the Art Deco game is not over for anyone who can't afford to buy an $8 million Bugatti because there are plenty of vehicles that have Art Deco elements in them in the modern day.
Oh, sure. Yeah. You can get, let's say, a Bugatti for $2.5 million, right? No, there's others, really. But one of the cars that does exhibit Art Deco design today happens to be another Bugatti.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, in that, it's part of their lineage, it's part of their heritage. But yeah, look at the Veyron. And there's a lot of Art Deco elements within this. Now, that's in the interior where it's like almost like it looks like a watchmaker made the interior.
It does.
There's another car that's similar to that. There's a Spyker. It's called with Spyker, a vehicle called the C8. And if you look at the interior of that, it has like the quilted leather interior. Again, overly ornate instrumentation, but inside it's awesome. I mean, it's like a lot of leather and chrome.
And that's hand stitched, right?
It's another high dollar vehicle, of course. I mean, it costs a lot of money for a Spyker C8. I'll tell you that. You'll see it displayed alongside, at the Lamborghini dealership. That's the only place I've seen one in person. But just to be able to peek inside this thing was really it's quite a treat. I'll tell you that. Yeah, it was very unique.
And the Rolls Royce car company, which some people may have heard of, has also created some Art Deco-inspired cars. Yeah. They've inherited some of those elements.
As a matter of fact, you were just showing me one that specifically is called the Rolls-Royce Art Deco design that they're going to unveil. Where was it, Paris?
Yeah, it's at the Paris Motor Show 2012. Check it out if you get a chance to look at it. They've got a Rolls-Royce Phantom with some nods to the Art Deco movement and a Rolls-Royce Ghost. Now, funny thing about the Phantom, I was showing this to you, Scott. They have a picnic kit embedded in the vehicles. There's 8 wine glasses and
Ben, that's a throwback to like way, way back when they would attach the actual wicker basket to the rear bumper.
Yeah, or this also reminds me, these sorts of opulent luxuries remind me of some of the original Art Deco stuff where they would have a completely separate compartment for the driver.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the chauffeur compartment, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of those vehicles. Like, it almost reminds me, I always say this, the Munster vehicles.
Yeah.
Remember the very first Phantom that we looked at
in
our Phantom episode? We go back and listen to that one if you want. But the Series 1 or the first generation of Phantom has that very, very dark, very foreboding look. I don't know how else to put it, but it's really, really cool. And it looks like it's made for chauffeur up front. Definitely, you know, a separate compartment in the back for the passengers, the well-heeled passengers.
And that kind of division, you know, has remained in some other things. For instance, in the Maybach, the Maybach models with the curtains in the back.
You're not going to believe this. I saw one of those just this morning. I was at all places. I was at a McDonald's drive-thru.
There was
The guy in front of me had a Maybach. And I say Maybach.
Yeah, Maybach.
It had the only reason that I really, you know, that has the unusual emblem on the back end.
Yeah.
It looks like a giant Mercedes is what it looks like.
A huge
Mercedes. And don't get mad at me, Maybach owners, but the back windows, I kind of, you know, tilted my head a little bit. It had curtains in the back window.
Yeah.
And it was definitely one of the longer wheelbase cars too, but it was not being chauffeured. This guy was just driving through the McDonald's drive-thru this morning. Right this very, I mean, like 4 hours ago, Ben.
I mean, it's just so weird to me. I would never think of being behind a car of that caliber at a fast food joint.
You wouldn't think so, but they got to eat too, right? And, you know,
yeah.
The other thing about this that I want to quickly, two more things, really.
Yeah, let's do them all.
The whole thing about, you know, like an Art Deco car and overly styled and overly ornate and you know, extreme opulent luxury vehicles.
Yeah, it's luxury for luxury's sake.
Yeah, exactly. One of the things that they do is they compare them to yachts. And the funny thing is when you see them on the road, it's like that car is enormous. That's a huge, huge vehicle, and it's overly done. It's everything right to the very limit or beyond.
Mm-hmm.
And it does remind you of a land yacht. And I know that term gets thrown around a lot for just big cars.
Right.
But the term land yacht is so appropriate for some of these cars that you'll see at the Concours shows, for example.
Yeah.
It fits so well for these vehicles. I think you'll understand when you see one.
Now, of course, we do hope everybody does get a chance to see one. You will have to seek them out.
Yeah, but you know what? There's also a much, much lower entry cost for some of these vehicles that they claim are also Art Deco designed. Did you read this?
Why don't you spill the beans?
I couldn't believe this. When I read this, I almost dropped the paper. It was in my hands. And I was reading it in a print version, by the way. Because I'm old and I do that. They say that recent cars, and I get this, Ben, I almost choke on the words when I say it.
Okay.
The Chrysler PT Cruiser is Art Deco. Do you buy that?
We got so close to ending this episode without having to bring that up.
Yeah,
I do not buy it.
Obviously, wasn't the Chevrolet HHR similar in design?
They were similar.
Okay, and there's a truck that they made, the SSR, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, but, it's not my favorite truck.
Same designer.
Yeah.
Went over to Chevrolet. But I couldn't believe that when I read the PT Cruiser was an Art Deco design. I know it's a throwback design, you know, meant to go back to kind of like the gangster cars of the
40s. Yeah.
But I never tied the two together, Art Deco and the PT Cruiser. I'm going to have to take a good look at a PT Cruiser. Not my favorite car personally, but I know there's still a lot of them out there. I can do this.
I have made the comparison.
You have?
Yeah. I took a look at it because I had heard some of the same things.
You do like a little side-by-side photo thing or what?
Yeah, and the designer of the Cruiser.
The PT Cruiser.
And I think he designed a couple other vehicles as well.
Yeah, the HHR and the SSR.
Mm-hmm. He clearly does take some cues from Art Deco.
Mm-hmm.
But I think saying that something has Art Deco elements and saying that it's an Art Deco car, I think those two deliberations are a world apart, man.
Yeah.
I do not think the Cruiser's
I totally agree.
A Deco car.
Not completely over-the-top Art Deco like we're talking about the coach-built vehicles, right, that use like lots of metals and leathers and all that.
Right.
Clearly not present in the PT Cruiser. But I can see, you know, like the streamlined fenders and the, you know, the throwback design to the 40s gangsters cars
Sure.
or whatever. I can see that. But to call the PT Cruiser an Art Deco car, I don't know. I don't think that that's a justified title in this case.
Yeah, and this reminds me of some of the ongoing debates about muscle cars. You know, you can, if you are ever bored and want to see people arguing, go online, check out the muscle car forums,
yeah,
and see how thorough these people are.
Oh, so. Sure, yeah. They're people that argue about this all day long. Well, actually, their whole life, really.
Mm-hmm.
If one car is considered a muscle car or not, or what, you know, what's a sports car, what's a muscle car, what's more of just a sedan with kind of a bigger engine.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of discussion online about that type of thing.
Oh, so, before we go, though, you had a question.
I do.
Yeah.
You know, I do. So my question is this. Now, we've just talked about how all-encompassing the Art Deco style was, right?
Yeah.
How this movement, really.
Mm-hmm.
And it touched on so many different things. It touched on furniture and architecture and automobiles and, you know, everything, appliances, anything, jewelry. I guess the way to say this, Ben,
okay,
is that prior to this, there was like the Art Nouveau movement,
sure,
style,
yeah,
style movement, right? And that's anything like before World War I. Then we get into the Art Deco era, which is like the 1920s to 1940s. And then that gave way to like the clean, modernistic look, I guess. Clean, modern look in like the 1950s. And you can clearly see like how the modern design influenced, again, furniture and architecture. And, you know, you can look at a house right now and say, like, that house was built in the 1950s. I just know it. I can see it. And that school was built in the 1950s. It all has a similar look and a feel. Right now. Right now in 2012, 2013, what style design era are we in right now? Because I can't pick it out. I can't say that something is so all-encompassing that we're basing the way our furniture looks on it. We're basing the way artwork is created.
Mm-hmm.
Jewelry is made. Automobiles. Do you think number one, I guess, is what style period are we in? Is it like some kind of postmodern? Is it I don't know what it is. And then, is there ever going to be anything again that is so all-encompassing? I keep saying that, I know, but all-encompassing as Art Deco
so
was.
So ubiquitous.
Yeah, exactly. How are we going to – are we ever going to get to a point where there's something like Art Deco again in our culture, in our I guess, worldwide, a phenomenon?
Hmm. That's a very good question, and I think it's a question that we're posing. You're not just asking me; we're asking the listeners.
Not just you. I want to know this from everybody. I mean, what are we? Are we like late modern? Are we postmodern?
I hate postmodern as a term.
Okay.
I think I am sorry to interrupt you, but it needs to be said.
Fair
because
enough.
Postmodern itself is kind of a fallacious thing. The way we use it, it just means after modern.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of a way of avoiding the question of what this is, because not everything can be modern, right?
I see this like, I mean, look at car makers today.
Yeah.
I mean, they're so dramatically different in the way the designs are of the vehicles. They're not all following one form.
There's no universal aesthetic.
Exactly. There's nothing like that. I mean, look at furniture and look at jewelry. Look at the artwork that we buy or produce. it's so dramatically different. It's all very eclectic.
And there's much more. I think part of it is technology, Scott. It's much easier for the average person to put their own ideas out. So there are more voices in the room of the human civilization.
It almost seems like that could go the other way too, though. Like if somebody had something that like a design or stylistic idea that was so overpowering, I don't know how to say this, like
right.
that, so enthralling, encompassing that everybody wanted to be a part of that, it seems like it would spread like wildfire and fast. But then again, would it hang on long? Because then someone would come along with a new idea. And maybe that's happening already. I don't know.
Or have we just become a Twitter society incapable of longer coherence?
It's possible.
This is a really good question, and we're going to have to step away for a little while to go off on another off-air adventure, but we do definitely want to hear from anybody who has a take on this, especially if you know more about the culture in which we live than we do, which in my case is not hard. Please do let us know what you think historians of the future will call the era of cars.
Mm-hmm.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian. Someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day. Seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if we're being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource. And paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go Papertarian? I'll wait. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/Papertarian.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
And please help us with this design question. What era do we live in? I know this is the third time I've repeated it, but you blew me away, Scott. It was such a good question. Let us know more about upcoming topics you'd like us to cover, your take on what is or is not an Art Deco car. Feel free to tell me I was wrong to not call the Cruiser an Art Deco car.
Yeah, peruse our article on our website. It's also called What is an Art Deco Car? That'll hopefully clear up some of the questions, the underlying questions that you may have had, you know, fill in the gaps, I guess, on what we were talking about.
So drop us a line on Facebook, give us a shout or a tweet, rather, on Twitter, and as always, you can email us at
carstuff@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without finger sticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.